and running on a Friday, a tradition unlike any other. The boys are here. We got Bill, I was going to say Big Balls, and then Wilbo kind of just formed together there. So it's whatever his name is. Big Balls in the house. Darren Banks, Banksy, and then the man, white pinstripe suit.
That's sharp.
Derek Stevens. How are we doing today, fellas?
We're doing better than yesterday, Tim. We're going to have a better performance. My goodness.
Well, technically, as I said yesterday, it was technically Friday on some spots. Some viewers had that. But, you know, we're going three strong here. So they're going to have a little bit of advantage on you. So, but I'll make sure
I'll make sure to focus.
Thought
the winner is who finishes three. I mean, that's what we've come in with three.
Are we changing the rules?
No, I thought whoever finishes three is the winner. So, I mean, let's see.
Did you just make these rules up?
It's no, like, we've been doing this the last 4 weeks.
Cheating.
I mean, last night was pretty rough, but, like, I don't think you can, you know, mess up your memory that bad. We've had two.
Always had two.
Well, we used to have Spider coming in. Did you guys put an order in? Probably not. See, so I'm a heavy favorite.
He's up in the game. I like it.
It's a good thing. I forgot to put in the odds today, but.
Who's the favorite?
Well, Derek is, if we're playing by house rules. I mean, it's his hotel, so I mean, he gets to make the rules.
It depends how much preparation they have. Do they have an order coming or not? I don't know if they thought through it.
We weren't notified of the rule change.
Oh.
You should have gotten a text or email or maybe a carrier pigeon, something like that.
I always make fun of gambling Twitter because no one's ever wrong on gambling Twitter. Everyone's always right. Now, I got to come clean with the audience and you guys. I think I've never lost a bet faster in my life than what just occurred. So I'm a Nats fan. I'm a DC guy. They've been struggling offensively. Max Scherzer, you Detroit guys know about Max Scherzer, his time in Detroit. Thank you very much for that. And he's on the hill. First five under 4.5. I'm like, okay, you know, Nats could get a couple runs, but Scherzer's going to lock them down. Well, Scherzer may lock them down. Doesn't matter. They scored 6 in the top of the first.
How about that team that's not scoring a lot of runs?
There's a loser for you right off the jump on a Friday.
That's got to be fun.
So there you go. A little donation. You take back some of my money I got from you at the NFL draft. Here you go.
There we go.
Your sportsbook got it right back. Yesterday, you were very you're very adamant that the line was wrong about home goals versus away goals. Did you have a talking to the fellas today?
Yeah, we did. You know, Jeff Davis came on our group text and he said, you know, hey, the one big game, this Avalanche game, you know, it's only really a 1.5, a slight favorite. My whole issue was simply that I thought there were a couple games where I thought the standard deviation should have been much, much higher. You know, I thought, okay, if you like the Avalanche, okay, you can lay the 1.5, but there was a disproportionate probability that you could win by 4 or something like that. And then we saw what happened in the Blues game.
They scored seven goals.
Yeah, I mean, and what was the final score, home versus away? Wasn't it like 16 to 5?
Yeah. And the Avs had just won the night before 6-0, and they won 5-1 on 5 unanswered.
Yeah, I just had this feeling though that I just thought the standard deviation was far, far different. I'm, you know, taking a dog at +210 on road goals, but I just thought one of these games has a high chance of having a blowout. And when you only have three games, you know, these blowout games can change everything.
So, sure.
I mean, it's a little bit different. Like when you see like a home team, road team split for baseball, you know, you really can't bank on a 12-0. And even if you have a 12, you still win the other side.
Yep.
You know, I'm curious, and what we're going to get into all, you know, Banksy's tweeting out teasers. He's telling people, hey, make sure to watch the nightcap. I got some Preakness news for everybody. We don't give out the full gambit until about 30 seconds from now, but setting basketball lines tonight must have been impossible. Everybody's out. I mean, Memphis is missing 6 of their top 7 starters. Toronto's missing everybody. The Clippers are missing everybody.
I took the Clippers stupidly.
I mean, it's a wild night because you're either in the playoffs or you're like for Memphis and Golden State, they're focusing for Sunday, which is essentially a play-in type of situation. So we got a lot to get to. I think this is going to be one of our best moments. I feel it, guys. I'm feeling it right now. Let's get this show rolling. It is the Nightcap here on VSiN. It's a Friday. Let's get this thing started. Hey, It is a Friday here on the Nightcap on VSiN, and that means we've got a full desk in front of us. Banksy's already polished off one tequila and soda. Big Balls is finishing up his gin and tonics there, and for some reason, Derek brought in three drinks, and House Rules says you have to finish three drinks first to be the victor.
So Big Balls is a good underdog play then, I guess.
So Big Balls might, you know, take a sprint out of the studio here to go bring in another G&T. But Big Balls, Banksy, Darren Banks, former Bruin. Man, we're going to Bruins caps. Got to talk some NHL preview here, NHL playoff preview. Got to talk some Preakness. Derek Stevens in the house. Dan Leach from 97.1, the ticket in Detroit. And I am, I'm just a guy. I want to start with Banksy. Banksy, you're tweeting about the Preakness. You were in here with your Canadian horse 2 weeks ago. He will not be running. How are we feeling? What do we got? Preakness. I mean, when you're tweeting me, I know it's something important.
Well, I went to my horse guys.
Okay.
Said, who do you got, boys? What do you got? You know, I'm pretty confident in what I already thought. I wasn't sure, but I got some confirmation.
Straight to the horse's mouth.
Midnight Bourbon. I'm taking him across the board.
That's my horse.
Midnight Bourbon.
That's my guy.
And then I got Control Tour. Just, you know, he's going to be up there. He's going to be in the top three. And then we might have to take Medina Spirit in the trifecta. I don't know what that horse is going to do. I mean, Baffert didn't pass the... What was it, the steroid test where the horse did? So
yeah, the horse doesn't know what's going on. It's
so I don't know what that horse is going to do. I mean, he's never lost a race, though. Yep. So you got to kind of throw him in your trifecta. But Midnight Bourbon is the one I'm going with.
I think Midnight Bourbon, and you're more the horse guy than I am, at the Paramutual, I want to say he's the favorite right now, as last I saw.
That's the last time I saw it, too. And I've loved him since the post dishes came out, but I want to throw one more in for you. You might want to throw in that trifecta. Rombauer, 12-1.
Talking Rombauer all week.
Love Rombauer. I think he's gonna have a clean trip tomorrow.
Are you gonna be here next week?
Because
I'm going to talk about you when that horse doesn't even show up.
Oh, he's showing up, my friend.
If you want to show up, you could show up. He's hosting on Sunday.
Yeah, so just come in and make
just
fun
pop
of me.
In, and he's going to be here all weekend. He's going to be here on Saturday. He's going to be here on Sunday. We put Dan to work when he got to town. So he's doing Saturday with Josh Towers. He's doing Sunday solo. So, Banksy, come on in. Rombauer is in the cellar.
I don't know. What time's it at? I got to play golf on Sunday.
Three to six?
It's possible.
It's possible.
I'll be back from the hockey game.
Well, I was going to say, we got Golden Knights. Is it a full house come Sunday? Where are we at?
It's close to a full house. You have to follow the science, of course. And we have got 8 seats on the glass, and the science has dictated that we get to have 6.
All right.
This is the first time. This is the first game of the season for VGK at home where the first 8 rows are open. So with our 8 glass seats, we will be able to use 6.
Nice.
That's
so
right.
We'll be there. There's a requirement that you wear Golden Knights apparel in these first few rows.
That makes sense.
So there's a lot of energy. So I'm excited. But this will be my first game I actually get to go to this year because our seats were locked down
really
the entire season.
You got to be fired up, man.
Yeah, we're going to be ready to go. Noon game. So when we get back, maybe I'll come see you at 3:00.
What are you guys, Big Balls, what are you doing at Stadium Swim for VGK on Sunday?
Yeah, so Sunday, we're going to have it on the screen for sure. We definitely want all the VGK fans to come out. Obviously, everyone's excited in town. We're definitely going with the DJ audio still. We want to create that party atmosphere at Stadium Swim. But Tuesday, we're definitely going to have the VGK game on. We're going to have the game audio. And then Thursday, we're also going to be having the game audio as well.
Nice.
So. But Thursday's special. Thursday is the first road game. It's the first official watch party for the Golden Knights all season long. They've never done an official watch party, and they're doing it at Stadium Swim, which means all the cheerleaders, because it's the first road game, so all the cheerleaders, the mascots, the drum line, all that is coming out Thursday night.
It's going to be a spectacle. Yeah, we're really looking forward to it.
Love spectacles.
It's going to be incredible.
All right, we need to make this note right now. I'm just saying it on the air. Anyone, behind the scenes, obviously, we will be on the air during that stadium swim watch party, so we need to figure out cameras. We need to get it up
live
there.
Feed.
Yeah, we need to get some reaction. When there's some goals, get it on VSiN here.
I like it. That's what Bill Eady, doesn't Bill Eady pull some strings around here?
We did that for March Madness. We had a reaction crowd, reaction thing down there. So I think we could maybe make that work. What do you think?
I'm in if everybody back here could figure it out, and I think it's a great idea.
And the Simple. Best way to do That's this great. Is instead of saying things, you know, behind the scenes, no, you just put them on blast on the network. So, you know, he kind of forces their feet to the fire.
I do want to say about probably 2 minutes ago, I finished my drinks. And
yes, you did.
I just kind of expected.
I understand.
But once again,
you got to get another one. Go run and get the third.
I understand. You're the first to finish two.
At your pace, are you going to get through three by the end of the show?
He's in his 20s, Tim. That's all I got to say. He's in
Don't
his 20s.
Don't anger the beast.
Hey.
Big Balls, you can be excused.
I'm like your teacher, Big Balls. You're allowed to be excused. If you want to go get another drink, go for it.
You got time, right?
Yeah, you got 10 minutes. You're good.
All right, I'll be back.
All right, there you go. He's fine.
Lock the door.
All right, Banksy. Give me some let's break down a little hockey here, and obviously Derek chime in as well. Let's start with VGK -235 here at Circa to win their series against the Minnesota Wild, and then the good folks here looking at the futures board, VGK is +445 to be hoisting Lord's Stanley Cup.
They got a long run to go. And this Minnesota Wild team, I think, is going to be one of their toughest challenge. Minnesota is very physical. And Vegas hasn't shown me that they can be physical a little glimpse of it. And their power play's got to click. I mean, I watched the last game, and their power play was very lackluster. You can't go into the playoffs with your power play being lackluster. You've got to be firing at all cylinders.
Big Balls is back.
We need their power play to be going, and they got to play physical. It's.
I feel like he's more connected than you. I mean,
30 seconds, he goes back with a full gin and tonic.
Yeah, the fast pass.
I thought I had a little pass here.
I just started waving immediately when I ran over the bar.
All right, so you like VGK in this series, but at that price, would you look a little bit at Minnesota 2-1?
No, I won't look. Minnesota won't beat them. Not in a 7-game series. Maybe if it was 3 out of 5, they might have a shot at them, but. In a 7-game series, Vegas will beat them, but they're gonna beat them up. They're gonna be very physical on them, and they know that's how the only way you can beat that team is be physical. And I think I don't know what they're gonna do with the goaltending situation. I'm assuming that Fleury's gonna start, and he might roll with them. I don't know if he's gonna switch goaltenders back and forth. I noticed he played them 2 games in a row at the end of the season to hopefully try to win the President's Cup, which they didn't do, but. I think they're going to roll with Fleury, and we'll see. But it's going to be a physical series.
And I think you brought up a great point. I wanted to ask you about the physicality. Because, you know, a couple years ago when Vegas made their run, I think they were more balanced. Do you think that, you know, you look at some of these teams that have made Stanley Cup runs in recent years, and it seems like it's more of a finesse type thing. Do you think that the lack of, you know, I don't want to say the loss of physicality, but that teams are looking more to balance that out and not be more of like these, you know, grind line Detroit Red Wings teams of the 90s, is that affecting teams' abilities to maybe win?
They are, but just remember, the teams that do win, you know, just look back the last couple of years. You look at Tampa Bay, they had those big forwards that like to hit, they love to hit. You look at Washington, Tom Wilson and those guys, they love to hit. Those guys are hitting. That's why I got to, you know, I look at Washington, but the only problem with them is them beating the Bruins. Bruins are so talented, and they've got to, you got to check to win the series. You can't just go on finesse only. Thank you very much.
You're going to get drinks out of everywhere.
Spider's here. He's delivering.
Asking a lot out of me
Oh,
right
my
now.
God. We're taking
so
this
now the, now it's like a 5-drink
oh
jail?
Oh, my God.
They're asking a lot out of me right now.
Spider.
He's already almost done with two.
Holy smokes.
So, Derek, you're a hometown guy. VGK to win it?
You know, I at this point, I'm more interested in these 7-game series.
The
I like taking the dogs.
Which dog do you like
I'll tell
in the
you
matchups?
What. I this goes to a question. I'll answer that, but let me ask Banksy, as a player, how much does pressure play into this? Like, for example, I assume there's going to be more pressure on VGK because they don't want to lose game one. I know it's just game one, but if you lose your home ice advantage and all that, how much more pressure is on VGK, and is that good or bad for them?
It's a good thing, but again, the players don't feel that. They know they've got to win, and they know they're the better team, so they're going to come out and probably play their best game of the year. They're going to have to if they want to beat them. And I think if they come up with the best game, and if say they blow Minnesota away, then they'll be very positive. They'll be thinking that, yeah, we're a better team, and they're going to know they're a better team. But that first game means so much, and I hope that they come out and guys like Stone, who you don't expect them to finish checks on a lot of guys, but guys like that and Tuck, these big players who finish checks on people, they need to do that. Just to get it going, it's, you know, back in the day was go out there and make something happen your first shift. I don't care if you get your bell rung, but go out there and make something happen.
All right, let's look at a couple dogs. I know you like, you know, you played the Marlins. You had some people in town sweating that futures bet a little bit. So let's look at some futures bet. These are circa prices. You got Canadians plus 285.
Yeah, I mean, I would tell you, like, right off the get-go on these series.
Yeah.
I certainly like Canadians. That would definitely be in my portfolio.
You were Banksy last night. We were talking. You're not that high on the Leafs.
No, they're not they give up too many choices. They're going to beat the Canadians, but I'm telling you, the team to look out for is the Florida Panthers.
Mm.
They are tough, and I think Carolina
plus 140 against the Lightning.
They Tampa Bay has not played well, and I don't know if they're getting, you know, Stamkos and Kucherov into the playoffs. I don't know what's going on there.
Sorry, I didn't ask Big Balls enough questions today. So that's poor facilitating.
He's okay with it. Just, yeah,
it's cool with me. You're honestly kind of ruining my Saturday. But I get it.
Big Balls is the champion. Champion
he's
today.
I told you, great underdog play.
I'm going to take about three of these series prices with the dogs. And doesn't mean I believe they're going to win the series, but I do believe you're going to have a couple of these upsets. And that's the one thing I love about series betting is you make the bet, you know, before the series starts, but then every game you have a new line, a new line, and you get to see how these things develop. So for me, that's I love series, whether it's hockey or whether it's NBA or baseball. 7-game series, the dynamics are just amazing. Baseball's kind of unique as a pitching issue, but I just love playoffs.
Yeah, we got Canadians are a dog, Jets are a dog, Blues the biggest dog against Avalanche, Preds 2-1, Wild 2-1, Banksy's Panthers plus 140, Islanders plus 120, and then the showdown between my squad and Banksy's squad, Bruins Caps.
What a series that should be.
We are going to kill you guys. Just sit back and watch. Sit back in your recliner.
We need a friendly wager? What's our friendly wager?
We don't have no problem. I don't know. Maybe you have a couple drinks during the nightcap.
Well, we gotta get approval of that.
It's got to be signed off on.
Your boss is right here, by the way.
Oh, no. I've got no authority. I'm just waiting until they don't let me in here anymore.
You're always welcome in here. UFC 260. I mean, this is a fun weekend. We got VGK on Sunday here in town. I think the NBA games, the Warriors Grizzlies, is going to be a play-in type of game. You're going to have those play-in games on Tuesday night, Big Balls. I'm sure that's going to be great at Stadium Swim. But are we doing the Fight Warehouse
We're
again?
Doing the Fight Warehouse. The Fight Warehouse. We still have some tickets available at the Fight Warehouse here at Circa. It's sold out the last couple times we did this, so we expect the same thing. Should be a great, great night with the fights. I mean, it should be just, like you said, what a great weekend.
It's a great weekend.
You got Preakness, you got the UFC, you got the fights. Sunday, you got, you know, some great playoff hockey.
Caps Bruins is after the Preakness.
Yeah.
So, we got Preakness, Caps Bruins, UFC 262.
The weather's perfect, and here's the other little thing that adds to some energy. You know, the state... Well, the whole federal government, they took the mask off
CDC.
Today. So people are coming in hot.
Yep.
As you could see what happened to us last night when we came out in the last hour. Like, we were all wondering if we got roofied. But people were at a whole nother level last night, and it has not changed, you know. So this is just a great, great weekend that we're real fired up about.
Yeah, Dan's here, too. So, you know, he's the life of the party.
First time on the 97.1 guy right here.
Maybe Dan will hang out a little bit longer.
Listen.
Sorry, his driver took him home last night.
I got to respect the driver.
Hey, I want to tell you something. Stock market's closed here. We're probably going over the time, but I'm going to give you a little bit of information.
Please, love the stocks.
The element of what's been on television about who's got the highest priced tickets for the NFL games. You know, I think other than the game where Tampa Bay goes to New England being the highest game price, I think four, nine out of the next 10 or something were Raiders. The Raiders games. So I could tell you the amount of room bookings between the Golden Gate, the D, and Circa from Wednesday night when the schedule release came out until today, it was unbelievable. Wow. Opening weekend, you know, against the Ravens, September 12th, September 13th. I mean, we booked for us. I mean, we booked like 900 room nights, and you know that's
incredible. That's whole city of Ballmer, hun, is going to be here in Las Vegas.
It was unbelievable. So for us, that's a lot of room nights just on basically a couple weekends, on the weekend of opening weekend. And then the same thing on the second weekend of October. I think it's October 10th. It's the Bears weekend.
Oh, yeah.
I think half of Chicago's coming here. Matter of fact, we were upstairs with the chief marketing officer of Allegiant Airlines, and I think they're going to be adding at least 8 special flights.
Wow.
On the Thursday and Friday coming out.
That's amazing.
It's going to be that Monday night game is going to be unbelievable here.
To piggyback, Stadium Swim is also every single weekend.
And Stadium Swim on Monday night, Sunday night, and Thursday night, it's full audio. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah. On Sundays, Mondays, Thursdays, you got the full audio for the main games.
And the champ over there, Big Balls, Banksy, he's going bourbon, midnight bourbon for the win. And Derek Stevens. This is the Nightcap. More to come here on VSiN. You know what? One segment wasn't enough. One segment was not enough.
Double dose, man.
Derek Stevens, Banksy, Big Balls, sticking around for a second segment. Dan Leach as well here, and you know, we were just getting started, and I feel bad not talking about just what this city is going to be like. You know, I remember leaving work last year, Monday Night Football, it was Raiders Saints, and just the thought of what that would have been like, and now you guys are living it. When that schedule comes out, you know, thinking in my head, I'm like, okay, the schedule comes out, that's cool, but I failed to recognize that. That is this. When this schedule was released, it must have just been absolute mayhem for all of you guys.
Absolutely.
Big Balls at Stadium Swim, you know, booking all these hotels, events. Look at right there. Ravens have a huge fan base. Dolphins, Bears, massive. Eagles, huge. Chiefs. Giant. And Washington, and maybe. But
they're lame.
But and Chargers, I don't think they have any fans. But still, you look at like four of those. Those are monster fan bases, and you know every single one of them. By the way, there's also a weekend when Iowa State comes to town to play UNLV in I think that's September 18th. That's going to be crazy too. Everybody from Ames, Iowa, will be in Las Vegas.
That's true. I mean, you know, we had so many meetings leading up, operational meetings leading up to the schedule release. Make sure everybody's ready. Hotel reservations, everything. Wilbo over here at Stadium Swim, beyond the point, because we wanted to make sure we were prepared. And when that release came out, it was just amazing, the demand to come to Las Vegas. And I think that's where we're seeing these stories about where the ticket prices are. I think every fan base, you know, if you're going to take a road trip, who is not going to want to go to this new stadium?
Well, especially Philadelphia, guys. This is one out of 8 years. They won't be back here for eight years.
Right. It's an eight-year cycle if you're in opposite conference.
Right. Bonkers.
It's 8 years. You know, maybe every now and then you're going to have this one little unique matchup.
The 17th game.
Like the Raiders-Bears matchup, the 17th game, thing, which I think is a great little twist whatnot. But yeah, every 8 years. So think about this. We've got Philadelphia Eagles coming into the Raiders October 24th on EDC weekend. Think about this.
I'm here for
it's going to be EDC with peace, love, unity, and respect with Eagles fans.
And it could be Canadian Thanksgiving, too. I don't know, but it could be around
Canadian
that time.
Thanksgiving, too?
I'm really excited for Stadium Swim. It's going to be an absolute blast.
I mean, think about week one, though, guys. All those Raven fans are going to be here on Sunday watching everything, stadium, and then they'll go to the game on Monday.
Yeah.
That thing, Monday Night Football for you guys, when the Raiders host Monday Night Football, is going to be all those fans will be here.
I agree. I think what's going to happen Monday nights is really amazing.
I mean, for Sunday, I don't even know if we even have any cabanas left. And I mean,
you guys
should definitely check it out. But Monday night's awesome.
I know a guy. His name's Big Balls. You could just
Monday night's incredible. Big Balls at the D.
You buy him a couple drinks, and maybe you can figure it out.
But I would tell you from a stock price perspective. I mean, I can just tell you that the demand. I've never seen the number of rooms booked like we've seen in the last 8 weeks, and that's really going forward. Never in my career. I mean, it's unbelievable what's happening in Las Vegas.
That's great.
Unbelievable. I mean, and while we were at break, we also had a little personal thing, some serious breaking news here.
Yeah.
We might even be able to break this before Vital Vegas, right?
All right.
I like it.
We just got approved to go to 100%. Probably not a big thing for the listening audience, but
still.
For all the casinos, we're excited. We've been working at this for a long, long time, and we did a lot of, what was the term? We had to do extraordinary efforts, and we're prepared. Extraordinary efforts include all of our concerts next weekend.
Yeah, who's here next weekend?
We got Deadmau5 leading off the first event in Vegas. So we worked a deal out with Insomniac, Pasquale Rotella, and we're going to do Deadmau5 on Friday night and Nero, and then we're going to do Factory 93 Saturday night, and we're going to announce a whole bunch of concerts here coming up very, very quickly.
I love it. Can't wait. I got to come back with
that. We're lighting up the city. We're relighting up Las Vegas.
I'm moving
on Friday night next weekend at downtown.
And I know you guys were late night shopping for some Deadmau5 ears.
Some Deadmau5 ears. I don't know. I got a feeling, I mean, Derek's going to be extraordinary like he always is. But Wilbur and I are going to come in there a close second.
Yeah, I'll be running table reservations.
Yeah, this is a big thing. Did you hear that Stadium Swim years. Hospitality got the VIP thing for the Deadmau5
That's
concert.
That's correct.
Huge.
That is correct.
Pretty big
Huge.
Move.
Stadium Swim Hospitality Group.
All right, there it is. Two segments this Friday. It's worth it. Good time.
Double
dose. Good time. Derek Stevens, Banksy, Big Balls. It's the Nightcap here on Visa. We keep it rolling here. It is the Nightcap on VSiN, and the Preakness, folks, is Saturday evening, and VSiN has everything you need to get a betting edge. Visit VSiN.com/horses to find all our full race coverage and picks from our horse racing specialists. Plus, get a special offer from our partners at First Bet. First Bet is giving $20 in free bets for all new users who sign up now using the promo code Vegas20. Also, everyone who redeems this $20 free bet offer will receive full access to VSiN subscription products for free from now through the Belmont Stakes. Sign up now and you will get analysis and wagering on every race with AI assisted picks, secure payments, attentive customer service, and a reliable website. Go to VSiN.com/horses for this special offer and expert analysis on the Preakness. That is VSiN.com/horses. And remember that promo code Vegas20. Dan Leach, Tim Murray, the other trio has exited.
Full house backfield we had there for a minute.
That was good times. We got a lot to get to. We got a lot to unpack. Tonight's NBA slate was wacky in the sense of we didn't know anyone who was playing.
Yeah.
Steph Curry, Draymond Green out for Golden State, but New Orleans was without pretty much everybody. You looked at the Clippers, Reggie Jackson, Pat Beverly, Terrence Mann, Serge Ibaka. Oh, yeah, Paul George.
Don't get me started on the
Kawhi
Clippers.
Kawhi Leonard. They were all out against Houston. Somebody on this set might have taken the Clippers on the money line. Can I just ask you? You know, you don't have to make
anything.
You don't have to make a bet on every game.
I know, but that wouldn't be fun then.
Well,
listen, in my defense... Yeah, and I am a degenerate. That's part of the fun
so
of
you,
my
so
life.
So you looked at the Clippers and you said, man.
They want the 3 seed.
All those guys are out. Oh, do they?
I don't think they even care about the 3 seed.
Because you're not sitting all those guys.
This is my thought.
-320 on the money line.
This is my thought.
For a team on the road.
I don't care who's in or out for the Clippers. The Houston Rockets are a G League team. And
they are.
The Clippers still have some. These guys, you know, the Rondos and the Scrubs. Great name, by the way, Scrub. You know, Luke Kennard, the former Piston, they're going to, they want to get in there and get their good minutes and show they can be a factor in the playoffs. So, I mean, money line, it wasn't like a big play, but of course it's the last leg of my anti-Detroit parlay because I had the Nuggets and I had the Cubs, and I knew I should have taken the points. But, you know, it's a seven-point game. I got now it's a nine-point game. Thanks a lot. You're jinxing me again, Tim.
I'm not jinxing you. You asked me in the car.
I know, I hate
you
it.
Said, I played Houston money line. I said, okay.
Clips money line.
Oh, yeah, Clips money line. Houston money line would have been nice. Now, look, I already told you how terrible of a play. I mean, who am I? Who am I to judge? You know,
you're a nobleman.
I took a first five under and it's 8-0.
Yeah, your first five under was over like 3.5 minutes.
Yeah, I just looked at that. I'm like, oh yeah, Nats are gonna score 6 runs here.
But until my over that crazy Houston Rangers game last night, nothing like taking a total in May. I was 5-0 since I've been here, and this would make it. I'd be 9-2 if they lose. So that's not terrible.
Sacramento and Memphis right now. Memphis without their 6 of their 7 leading scorers. Jonas Valanciunas, Jaren Jackson, Dylan Brooks, Brandon Clark, Kyle Anderson. Oh, yeah, a guy named Ja Morant not playing. They're all resting up for Sunday. This game is completely meaningless for both the Memphis Grizzlies and Golden State, who's actually leading right now against the New Orleans Pelicans, that one late in the second quarter. Those games mean nothing because it comes down to game 72, and the winner of that game gets the 9 seed. The winner gets the 8 seed, I beg your pardon. Loser gets the 9 seed. In all likelihood, facing the Los Angeles Lakers, we will see. That will all play itself out this weekend.
It's a good reward for that.
With Portland losing, yeah, right? But you get that 8 seed, and you can afford to lose because then you're at home facing the winner of Spurs and team you just beat. So I do want to get to something that we talked about last night, and it has officially come home. The Oklahoma City Thunder win total under has come to roost.
The chickens have finally come home to roost, man.
This is, in my opinion, one of the worst beats I have ever seen.
It's historic.
Because of the just painful nature, if you took the Oklahoma City season win total over. If you missed it last night, or if you've missed me talking about it, or JVT talking about it, here is the skinny on Oklahoma City. We talked about it yesterday. It's that meme on Twitter. How it started, how it's going, right? On March 31st, the Oklahoma City Thunder, whose season win total was 22.5, won their 20th game. They had 25 games to play.
It's almost impossible not to get the over.
They were 20-27 on March 31st, Dan. They are currently 21-50. It is unbelievable the debauchery that the Oklahoma City Thunder have unfolded here. I can't do the quick math and include this 16-point loss tonight to the Utah Jazz, but...
Did you mention you had a friend that had the under?
Yeah, Doug Kazarian, ESPN. He had the under, so...
And he thought, I'm sure, that not only is he losing,
no,
but it's over.
You've got 25 games to go, and you're under 22.5, and they're 20-27.
3 wins in 25 games. I'm sure there's someone that could figure it out. But in a situation, I know there's less games this year than the normal 82-game season, but a team that's been that close to a win total with that much time left, I doubt there's ever been a team that's come close to being as bad as the Thunder.
Ever, in any sport. It is remarkable, and it has come home. Utah beat the Oklahoma City Thunder tonight, 109-93. They covered, by the way, if you got... Most spots, Westgate went to 16, but most places at 15.5. So Utah also covers. But Oklahoma City from 20-27 to 21-50. The under on the season win total comes home to roost at 22.5. And after that win, 113-103 against the Toronto Raptors, their next game, they played the Phoenix Suns on April 2nd. They lost by 37. The next night, they went to Portland. They lost by 48. And that just jump-started what would be an absolute and utter collapse.
The Indiana game, they almost had a record.
They lost 152-95.
They flirted with the biggest lead ever in the history of the NBA.
On May 1st, lost by 57 points. That was a home game.
Home game.
Their lone win? The Boston Celtics on the road, April 27th. To anyone who had the over, my condolences. All time, bad beat. The Thunder season win total goes under. Mike Kapp, you're on VC. Welcome back in, folks, to the Indeed.com studio. Resumes are good. Resumes with an Indeed skills test are better. Visit Indeed.com/credit. Dan Leach, Tim Murray with you. It is the nightcap coming up top of the hour. Good friend of the program, Las Vegas Review-Journal, Adam Hill will join us. We'll talk a little UFC 262, talk a little Raiders, and I don't know, some other stuff. I mean, Adam's great. We'll talk about anything with Adam. So he'll join us at the top of the hour. I got to just revisit what we were talking about with Oklahoma City, because this is an absolute all-timer. An all-timer. If you had the season win total over for the Oklahoma City Thunder at 22.5, they were 20-27 on March 31st after a win over Toronto. They have now since lost 23 of 24 to hit the under 22.5 to lock it up tonight. They lose tonight to the Utah Jazz 109-93. And thanks to JVT, he put out an article on VSiN.com. Check it out. Which, by the way, he needs to update because this is now number one.
You think it's number one?
Oh,
with
it's
a bullet.
Per JVT, who did the research, did top 10 worst win total beats ever. And he said this one is number one. And it comes home. So number one for JVT, check it out, VSiN.com. was the 16-17 Golden State Warriors. He said the dominant Warriors had one of the highest NBA win totals we have ever seen. However, underbettors were feeling themselves after Golden State lost a road game to San Antonio, dropping them to 52-14. The Warriors were just two losses away from clinching under 66.5 with 16 games to go. Golden State then went on a 14-game winning streak, lost one game, then won the season finale, closed the year on a 15-1 streak, went 67-15. So that prior to today, per our senior NBA analyst, JVT, was the worst season total loser of all time until today.
And it won by a half game. That was the year they beat LeBron and the Cavs the first. Yeah, that was a half game by going 15-1. That's almost the other side. It's impossible for the Thunder to be as bad as they were with that many games left. How about the Warriors with 16 games? It went 15-1. That's crazy. So yeah. I'm with you. They're both like 1A, 1B.
I don't think there's a 1A, 1B. I think going 1-23 is definitely is one, you know? I know in this day and age, we need the, you know, Jordan's the GOAT, but, you know, LeBron's a 1B. Whatever your discussion is, I don't think there's a debate. This is so horrible. And once again, to, you know, DK, Doug Kazarian, who was on the show and told us he had the season win total under, couldn't have felt great, but you don't burn those tickets. You just hold on to them thinking, well, this is going to be a loser. And that's why, you know, that's why every second segment of the final hour, we do treats and beats.
Yep.
Because, yes, the bad beats may be glorified, but there's always someone on the other side, Dan, who's cashing that ticket. And there are people cashing a Oklahoma City Thunder season win total under.
And I don't know the numbers in front of me. My guess is that the majority, I don't know if it was a ton of, you know, more percent of money-wise, the majority of the money was on the over for the Thunder. I would guess that the public was definitely on the SGA, and I mean the Thunder were going to be a good team, but that's a low win total in a weird NBA year where fans weren't going to be a factor and road games weren't going to be as big of a factor as they've been. I would guess that the majority of the public was on the over, that the under was kind of a sharp play.
I don't know the answer to that, but whoever it was, you can cash your under ticket.
They're going to buy you some drinks.
Yeah, I mean I've just been keeping tabs. It wasn't like you can jump in on it. By the way, I did take Sacramento on the money line and plus the three.
Talk about a sweat.
So it's 80-79 as I'm, you know, went dumpster diving today. I haven't lost this bet like I lost the bet, you know, 5 seconds into a baseball game.
Well, I'm down 12, by the way. The Rockets are up by 12 at the end of the third. I think it's going to be like a 10 to 15-point quarter for Luke Kennard. He's going to do it for me.
Man, it's a Friday, so hopefully, you know, thankfully these games had started before the show started, so we didn't tell anybody to take these plays. We were just losing on them on our own.
Well, you know what?
We're being honest, at least. Being honest.
I'm being stupid. I'm stupid, too, because we were getting ready for the show. I should have ran down at halftime and hedged my bet. Mm. I mean, that was dumb. It was dumb. They were down by four, the Clips.
So we had talked about these prop bets at DraftKings with Justin Fields, Andy Dalton, the odds for them, who would start week one, Mac Jones, Cam Newton, and Trey Lance, and Jimmy Garoppolo, the three quarterbacks, the rookie quarterbacks that have a chance to start week one but seem to be longer shots. Obviously, Lawrence and Wilson are going to be week one starters. The most recent one to get involved in this is the Saints quarterback situation. Now, the all-time wins leader in Notre Dame history, Ian Book, is on here, but he's not going to win the battle. He's 33-1.
I was going to say, did you put about a grand on him?
Yeah.
I gave you half of it.
Yeah. Jameis Winston.
Crab legs.
The odds-on favorite at minus $2, and Taysom Hill is at plus 145 to be the week one starting quarterback. Now, once again, recent history says Taysom Hill, when Drew Brees got hurt last year, he was the starter, not Jameis Winston. I don't understand why he was the starter. I still don't get the fascination that Sean Payton has with a 30-plus-year-old quarterback who had thrown 8 passes.
He's a Swiss Army knife.
Cool. Good for him. But if you're going to – Jameis Winston's a quarterback.
Yeah. He also threw 30 interceptions, 30 touchdowns.
30 touchdowns,
but that's,
too.
You talk about the Thunder, you know, trying hard to lose that many games. It's pretty tough to throw 30 picks.
That is true, but he did, throw 30 touchdowns, yeah, as well.
It's such an enigma.
So who's the week one starting quarterback?
Taysom Hill. I take the money line right now, plus 145. And I totally agree with you on Jameis Winston. He is a quarterback. But see, they didn't, you know, pay Hill all that money, and Sean Payton and you know, the mad genius science lab he has somewhere in the basement of the Superdome. Something is completely dinging in my head that line's going to go down. The Taysom Hill's line's going to go down, and Winston's favoritism minus 200 is going to go down via those drafting odds right now. I would jump on Taysom. I think he starts week one. I really do.
Our last show together, so I feel like we had agreed a lot.
Oh, because you're really smart.
Completely disagree with you. Jameis Winston's the starting quarterback. You know, mid-season, they threw in Taysom Hill. They shouldn't have, but they did. Jameis Winston could have left. He came back. I think he's going to be the starting quarterback.
Maybe Sean Payton lied to him.
Maybe he did. It's very possible. But
they paid Taysom Hill $140 million.
That was a fake contract.
I know, but still.
You could – all these NFL contracts. I mean, look at the – what was the guaranteed money?
The guaranteed money was $1.4 million.
Thank you.
I know. Listen.
Hey, look at this $140 million contract. Fine print down here.
What I think is going to happen, and it would be stupid, but I would not put this past Sean Payton in the aftermath of Drew Brees retiring, is that you might have, not to the same degree, but, you know, a Tebow leak type thing where it's a two quarterback type situation. And Hill starts, and then Bridgewater. Then, you know, Jameis comes in.
In my opinion, I think it would be the opposite. I think Jameis starts, but you're going to see Taysom Hill. You're going to see both of these quarterbacks.
But don't you, this is my point.
You're saying why you would take the plus money is because maybe they throw some gimmicky out there,
yes,
to start.
Yes, and this is where I'm at with this. I think the teams that are prepping for them are going to think that for sure it's Crab Legs Winston. And I could see Peyton's a guy that kicked it outside of the Super Bowl, which, by the way, I called, you know, for the shameless plug. Now, I've been wrong about a million things, but I was right about that. I'm like, hey, he's going to kick it on sides. I wish there was a bet on that.
Like Clippers money line.
You know what? That's it. They're down by 11. They need a big three here. But so you look at Sean Payton, everyone's going to think that Winston's starting. He throws Hill out there for the first couple series or, you know, the first couple plays, has him run some kind of weird draw or flea flicker, and then Crab Legs comes in. Take that money line right now, the plus 145. And you can hate me later if I'm wrong.
I disagree. I wouldn't lay $2 on Jameis Winston on in May to see this come home, but I would go Jameis Winston. But pivoting to the division, it's laughable that the Saints are 3-1 to win this division.
This is ridiculous.
Those odds are way too short. This is a team that has been deteriorating with talent. They may have reached in the first round with the DN from Houston. That remains to be seen. The rumors out there, not that this affects how they play this year, but it just makes you think, what's going on? There were rumors that they were trying to trade up to the top 10 to get a corner.
Yep, which is absurd.
From 28.
You don't take corners.
28. To get up to the top 10 to get a corner.
Trust me, I know all about corners with the Detroit Lions and guys like Tease Taylor.
As everyone knows that has been tuning in, I like the Falcons. I think if you can find them, there's a casino here in town, a sportsbook in town, the Station's Casino. They're at 9-1, Falcons are. I think it's worth a flyer. Do I think they'll actually come home and win this division? No, but at 9-1, I think the Falcons have a real chance to be the second best team in the NFC South. If there's any hangover, Tom Brady gets injured, at those odds at 9-1, that's where the intrigue for me sets in, because I think offensively the Falcons are going to have the potential to be dynamic with Arthur Smith coming in, the drafting of Kyle Pitts. If Julio stays, that's a big if. But that's where I would go if I had to make a play on the NFC South. Look around. If you can get around an 850, 9-1 on the Falcons, that would be the only play I would make.
Now, I think you make a lot of good points about both sides of that equation. But let me just quickly get back to the Saints. Drew Brees was awful in the playoffs. Yep. Awful.
He's awful pretty much all season.
Yes, but that team still did what they did. And you look at their weapons with obviously Thomas and Traquan Smith and Kamara. The defense actually was more aggressive and better than I thought it would be. I don't think that, you know, Jameis Winston or Taysom Hill are even close to what Brees is.
I just think at 3-1, that there's zippy. Zero.
Oh, I agree on the value, but that's why, I mean, this is still a team that has Sean Payton. You love him or hate him. The guy's really, he's a genius. I think that there's a reason that they're not 5 or 6 or 7, because they were pretty good, even though Brees was bad.
Yeah, I think they're in for some regression, and I think this at 3-1, they're on reputation alone. That's why those odds are
sure
what they are. Adam Hill will join us top of the hour. We'll talk some UFC. Got UFC 262. We'll talk some Raiders. We'll talk some NFL draft. We'll talk all things with Adam Hill. Stick around. It's the Nightcap here on VSiN.